I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Barbara Yakubu. In the headlines, Ghana to get $600 million out of $3 billion announced by President Obama at G8 Summit to implement new alliance for food security and nutrition. 250 Ghanaian students leave for Cuba today to study medicine. SOS calls for renovation of school for the deaf in Manfi, Ikuyapim. President Obama warns of hard days ahead as NATO prepares to withdraw troops in Afghanistan in 2014. Leader of drug cartel in Mexico busted for brutal murder of 49 people. And Robin Gibbs, founder of renowned musical group Bee Gees, dies of cancer. Says the summary with Abraham Donko.
Ghana will be a beneficiary of $600 million out of the $3 billion earmarked for the implementation of President Barack Obama's new Alliance for Food Security and Nutrition. Top of the agenda of the Ministry of Food and Agriculture is the development of four areas to become Ghana's breadbasket. This was disclosed to Radio Ghana in Washington by the Sector Minister Kwesi Ahoy. 250 Ghanaian students will today leave for Cuba to study in different fields of medicine. The students who were selected from deprived areas across the country will be away for 6 years. Vice President John Mahama made this known at a dinner last night in their honor. The chief of Mampo Ikuyapim Osabere Ma Kwame Otudate has appealed to government to, as a matter of urgency, help to renovate the demonstration school for the deaf and the secondary technical school for the deaf in Manfi, in the Ikuyapim North District of the Eastern Region. Osabere Ma Kwame Otudate made the appeal when he took newsmen round to inspect the deplorable nature of the two schools. And Robin Gibbs, founder of the renowned musical group Bee Gees, has died at 62 of cancer. British-born Gibbs' musical career began when he formed the Bee Gees with his brothers Barry and Morris in 1958. In 2010, Gibbs cancelled a series of shows after suffering from severe stomach pains while performing in Belgium. The group is among the biggest selling of all times.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
Ghana is expected to get a minimum of $600 million out of the $3 billion announced by President Obama to implement the new Alliance for Food Security and Nutrition. This will be added to the $500 million being raised by government to roll out Ghana's medium-term agricultural sector investment program. Speaking to Radio Ghana's presidential correspondent Seth Eya in Washington, D.C., the Minister of Food and Agriculture, Kwesi Ahoy, said it will cost government about $1.5 billion over the five-year period of the program. He said government is encouraging the private sector to take up the remaining $400 million through investments. Mr. Ahoy has said government has identified four areas that can be developed to become the breadbasket of the country and beyond. These are the Afram Plains, Accra Plains, Sada, and the Volta Basin. He said about 1.5 million Ghanaians are expected to be taken out of poverty by the end of the program.
These are the four areas that we are looking for resources to open up those places. And interestingly, the emphasis by G8 this particular year on food and nutrition security is looking at precisely such development, how to scale up private sector investment to combine with public sector investment and development partners' contributions. And the CADEP through NEPAD, AU, have compelled every African country to come up with this agricultural development plan. In Ghana, we call ours the METAS, the Medium-Term Agri-Sector Investment Plan. And in that plan, we've identified the role of government, the role of the private sector, and the role of development partners. It will cost us about $1.5 billion US dollars for the next 5 years. As I'm talking now, on our own, we've been able to identify almost about $500 million. We need the gap of $1 billion has to be filled. And that gap is what the GA people are coming up with. If I bring it down to Ghana, it's not the G8 only. The U.S. government, through USAID, has already committed $45 million to Ghana's commercial agricultural program, which we designed with the World Bank. The World Bank is bringing $100 million. We asked Canada, we asked Germany, we asked all Japan. All of them have indicated how much they will commit to Ghana within the next 5 years, because the metaship spans over 5 years. If I put it all together, the minimum that we expect will be about $600 million from the G8 group and other international donors. It still leaves a gap of almost about another $400 million, and that's where we're looking for private sector investment to come and fill the gap.
How has the private sector respond to MetaSave? And at the end of 5 years, how many Ghanaians are expected to be out of poverty?
It is expected by the end of the 5 years, through the G8 intervention and all that, about 1.3 million Ghanaians will be taken out of poverty if we're able to carry out this whole MetaSave program supported by the GA group and other international donors.
Minister of Food and Agriculture Kwesi Ahoy and economic specialist with the UNDP Kojo Sadega says government is developing a Millennium Development Goal MDG acceleration framework to come out with policies to accelerate the achievement of the goals. He said Ghana is performing better with the MGDs than some sub-African countries, although much remains to be done to attain the goals. Mr. Sadega was speaking at the three-day MDG workshop organized by the UNDP in collaboration with Africa 2000 Network and Youth Bridge Foundation, two non-governmental organizations for Ghana's Most Beautiful 2011 contestants in a ensemble. The workshop, which is the second in the series for the contestants, was to enable them to become youth ambassadors to educate the public and create awareness on the MDGs as part of efforts to achieve the goals. He said Ghana has been able to attain maximum results in MDG 1, 2, 3, 6 and 8, although lots of work needs to be done in order to attain MDGs 4, 5 and 7, which are related to sanitation, maternal health and HIV and AIDS. A development expert, Dr. Saka Winimana, has suggested that some aspects of the Ghanaian culture should be changed. He cited the culture which discourages the girl child from attaining high level of education as well as elopement, especially in rural communities. Dr. Winimana stated this in an interview with Radio Ghana at Wa in the Upper West region. Given his assessment of the development of the region, especially in the Wa township, he said though a lot of physical changes have taken place, including roads, houses and schools, Wa looks disorganized as a regional capital. Touching on the country's democratic dispensation, he said Ghana has performed creditably when it comes to democracy. He said the nation has a lot of goodwill on the international scene because of its transfer from the military to democratic rule. He added that the peaceful manner of the political transition has earned Ghana a lot of respect. Having stayed in Canada for decades, the development expert said Ghana can learn a lot from Canada when it comes to agriculture because they have the technical know-how in irrigation. Dr. Winimana noted that considering the fertility of Ghana's soil, there can be commercial and mechanized farming to create employment for people. 200 250 Ghanaian students will leave for Cuba today to study in different fields of medicine. The students selected from deprived areas across the country will be away for 6 years. At a dinner last night in their honor, Vice President John Mahama charged them to exhibit characters that reflect the ideals of the country they are coming from. Pascaline Adadivo was there for Radio Ghana.
Vice President John Dramani Mahama led a delegation to Cuba in March last year to sign a number of agreements in areas of assistance and cooperation. The training of the 250 young men and women was part of those agreements. The students are made up of graduates who will be pursuing postgraduate training in specialized fields of medical science and senior high school students. So far, 1,200 Ghanaians have studied in Cuba in the past 20 years. Cuba, in spite of the challenge of being under sanctions from the United States for so many years, has survived and has very cordial relations with Ghana. Vice President John Mahama was very excited to see one of the many agreements come into fruition within a short period. He charged the students to make the utmost of the rare opportunity offered them to make the country proud.
Let me say how happy I am. Last year in March, I led a delegation to Cuba, and one of the important agreements we came back with was an agreement with the Cuban government to train 250 young Ghanaians in the medical sciences. And so we have been working at it since then. We signed the protocol, and today, if you go into the public services of Ghana, more chances than not, you're likely to meet a Cuban-trained graduate holding a very responsible position.
Deputy Minister of Health Robert Joseph Metonunu noted that the greatest asset that Cuba exports to the world is service to mankind. He encouraged the students to take up that spirit of service during their study period.
I also want to acknowledge that, but for the very far-reaching discussions held by His Excellency, the Acting President in Cuba last year, we would never have had this opportunity of increasing the number of Ghanaian students going to study in Cuba. To the other younger SSS graduates going, I would say, look at your seniors. It is our hope and prayer that you will not bury your talents in Cuba, that you learn assiduously, make Ghana proud, and come back with all the knowledge to work in the Ghana medical field to improve quality of life and service.
George Nicholas is the Cuban ambassador to Ghana. He assured parents of the students of good care, urging them to adjust as soon as they arrive.
So you will be in the universities in Cuba, you will find another culture, another country, you will find another people, but at the same time, you will start a trip to your future. And all we ask from you is to take this opportunity to graduate, to study, to graduate, and to come back to Ghana to serve your own people. So you will not be completely unknown there. We offer our love also with the studies. But at the same time, you must be Ghanaian 100%. You must be yourself there.
A minute of silence was observed for one of the students who had passed on. With a spirit of patriotism, the students pledged their loyalty through the song. For Radio Ghana, Pascaline Adadevu, Accra.
Some of the students expressed excitement about the scholarship offered them. They hope to make the best use of it.
Yeah, I'm very, very happy. We've been given this opportunity to go to Cuba to study medicine. And I'm promising Ghana that when I go, I'll study very, very hard. And when I come back, I'll serve them as they want me to do.
Oh, I'm very, very excited. Yeah, this is an opportunity that I never thought I had. That by God's grace, thank God I'm part. He helped me to pass my exam, secondary school exam. Now I'm part. I know I'll become a wonderful doctor.
Where are you coming from?
I'm from Upper East, Boga. Yes, I'm also very
football.
It's a very great opportunity.
For me, like this, I applied for medicine and legs, but I didn't get it. And applying it and I'm getting it, finally my dream of becoming a doctor is realized. So I hope just as the government has promised, next time we'll get more people so that as well as doing one day, we'll be able to get more people to go and learn and come and study like that.
Really, I'm excited. I can't really use words to describe my excitement. It's a big joy for me. And a dream come true. One of the things in life I really wanted to do was to learn Spanish. So it's like a dream come true. To learn and study in the Spanish language. It's a big opportunity and I'm really grateful to the government and all those involved in getting this dream come true.
We heard some beneficiary students who will be leaving for Cuba today to study medicine. The Ashanti Regional Office of the Ghana Cocoa Board will distribute about 3 million cocoa seedlings to cocoa farmers this planting season as part of efforts to revive the cocoa industry. The distribution of 20 million cocoa seedlings across the country to farmers has taken off, and the level of patronage has been described as massive. The free distribution of cocoa seedlings project was launched at Gosu in the Bonohafu region by the Vice President John Mahama. The Ashanti Regional Manager of the Cocoa Swollen Shoot Virus Disease Control Unit of Cocoa Board, Francis Oye, who disclosed this in an interview in Kumasi, said the exercise is devoid of selective tendencies and that all cocoa farmers are beneficiaries. They are, however, supposed to register first with Cocoa Board for inspection of the prepared plot of land by officials of Cocoa Board to see whether the required farming practices have been adhered to in order not to kill the seedlings after they have been planted. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, and the major stories. Ghana to get $600 million out of $3 billion announced by President Obama at G8 Summit to implement new alliance for food security and nutrition. 250 Ghanaian students leave for Cuba today to study medicine. SOS calls for renovation of schools for the deaf in Mamfe, Kyapim. President Obama warns of hard days ahead as NATO prepares to withdraw troops in Afghanistan in 2014. Leader of drug cartel in Mexico busted for brutal murder of 49 people. And Robin Gibbs, founder of renowned musical group Bee Gees, dies of cancer. The chief of Mampong Ikuyapin, Osabema Kwame Otudate, has appealed to government to, as a matter of urgency, help to renovate the demonstration school for the deaf and the secondary technical school for the deaf in Mansi in the Ikuyapin North District of the Eastern Region. According to him, both schools, which were established over 40 years ago to nurture deaf and dumb students with technical and vocational skills, have been neglected by successive governments. This has greatly affected the students since they study and unfavorable conditions. Osabema Kwame Otudate made the appeal when he took newsmen round to inspect the deplorable nature of the two schools. Correspondent Henok Osekisi was there and has filed this report. The school, which was established in 1975 to train students in tailoring, shoemaking and English language, was raised to secondary and technical status in the early 90s. Operating on two campuses, the school has a student population of more than 300. Though the students take part in WASI and other national exams, it has not seen any major renovation since its establishment. It has no computer and science laboratory. Equipment at the technical and vocational departments have broken down, and there is no school bus to commute students to classes, forcing them to walk 2 miles to class every day. The situation discourages most teachers who are posted to the school to teach. The team also visited the demonstration school for the deaf, which was the first deaf and dumb school to be established in Mampo in 1967. The school was the basis for the establishment of other deaf and dumb schools in the country, but has also been neglected. It also faces similar problems, making teaching and learning very difficult. The chief of Mampo in Kwapemo, Saberema Otudate, made a passionate appeal to government, stakeholders and philanthropists to come to the aid of the two institutions, since they also play very vital roles towards the development of the country. Correspondent Henok Osekisi's report. The Bekwai Municipal Director of Education, Christian Dogbeto, has called for the instilling of moral discipline and the virtue of good behavior in all categories of students for the benefit of society. Mr. Dogbeto was addressing the SDA Senior High School Annual Leavers Day and Thanksgiving service for outgoing students at Asante Bekwai. He stated that life evolves in stages and advised outgoing students to let their lives impact positively on others wherever they find themselves. In an address read on his behalf, the Bekwai Municipal Chief Executive Noah Asantimenu expressed concern about the level of indiscipline in most of the senior high schools in the country. He noted that the canker of deviance, bullying, molestation, homosexuality and lesbianism, among other vices, have become rampant among students. Two divisional chiefs of the Agunanya Krum Traditional Council have asked politicians not to make promises that will be difficult to fulfill. According to the chiefs, it is disheartening when politicians fail to honor promises, especially those that involve the improvement of living conditions. The chief of Agwana Kwenyaku, Nana Ampimdaku, and Adonsehini of the council, Nana Kobna Bochi, servers from the presidential candidate of the PPP, Dr. Pakwesi Indum, paid them separate visits at their palaces in Aguna Suedru and Kwenyaku. They called on politicians to be sincere at all times in order to win the trust of Ghanaians. We bring you the details.
The tour of Aguna West and East formed part of the second tour of Dr. Indum in the central region within 3 weeks. The chiefs noted that unfulfilled promises by politicians erode the trust of Ghanaians in the political leadership and appeal to officials in government and those aspiring to be there to put a stop to such attitudes. Nana Daku said the time has come for politicians to bite what they can swallow in order not to deceive the people. He cautioned supporters of PPP not to engage in any acts that could start off violence in the coming election and urged Dr. Indum to revisit the idea of establishment of the Workers' Brigade to increase food production when given the nod. For his part, Nana Bochi expressed concern about the poor road network in the Aguna West municipality, especially Aguna Suedru, saying that roads under construction in the town have been abandoned. Dr. Indum called on Ghanaians to vote PPP for him to improve the economic and social well-being of the people, adding that education, water, sanitation, health and road construction will be top priorities when given the nod. The presidential candidate said job creation will also be pursued to enable the youth to become gainfully employed and reduce poverty and hardship in the society.
That was a news desk report. Public officials at all levels have been asked to be good stewards of public assets entrusted into their care. They should, under no circumstances, seek their personal interests at the expense of the national cause, since posterity will judge them by their actions today. The Minister of Water Resources, Works and Housing, E.T. Mensah, made the call in a speech read on his behalf at a water resources conference in Kumasi. He asked public officials to ensure that the activities are guided by the general good of society. They should also ensure value for money and manage resources with a greater sense of responsibility and transparency. Mr. Mensah noted that safe water for the population has been the agenda for the government since it is the only way to fight diseases. The clerk of the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Evangelical Presbyterian Church, the Reverend Godwin Osiakwa, is calling on religious bodies in the country to lead a crusade of reinforcing the bond of unity in diversity of Ghanaians. He said Ghanaians should not allow politics to polarize them, cautioning that it is important to take a cue from some countries that have experienced unwarranted arrest and civil wars. Reverend Osiakwa was speaking at the Thanksgiving service to Climax Evangelical Presbyterian Church Western Presbytery Third Synod held at Pekki in the Volta region. We bring you the details.
Presbyteries of the EP Church are mandated to hold synods to appraise and plan for the ecumenical and socio-economic programs ahead of the main General Assembly scheduled for August this year. Reverend Osiakwa said politics is a game of love, peace and respect for each other's opinion so as to enhance the democratic stability required for sustainable growth and development. He urged Christians to be worthy ambassadors of Christ, to preach peace and unity and counsel people who misconduct themselves by inflaming passion through offensive remarks. The EP Church Western Presbytery Synod moderator, Reverend Gabriel Akoli, called on churches to intensify outreach evangelism programs to win more souls. He said the Presbytery Synod decided to adopt the revamping of the EP Church Fisheries Project and Academy to provide jobs for the youth. The president of the EP University College, Reverend Dr. Cheryl Fayose, and underscored the importance of university education in contemporary job markets and urged parents to provide the needed academic support to their wards. He also called on members of the church to honor their financial commitments in aid of the development programs of the university.
That was a news desk report. Available data at the Eastern Regional Branch of the MTTU reveals that About 1,224 people in the region were injured through road accidents last year. Half of the figure, being 675, had been recorded from January to April this year, indicating that road accidents are on the ascendancy. The Eastern Regional MTTU Commander, Chief Superintendent James Safo Pepra, gave this information when he addressed the congregation of Christ the King Methodist Church at Nsoko, a suburb of Kofodia in the New Jabe municipality. Mr. Safo Pepra attributed the causes of the vehicular accidents to human errors, adding that about 75% of them are from the driver's carelessness. He explained that the roads have now become death traps instead of facilitating the movement of goods and people from one place to another. Ghana's former president and AU High Representative for Somalia, Flight Lieutenant Jerry John Rawlings, has called for a renewed momentum and credibility in the Somali transitional process. In a meeting with the Prime Minister of Somalia, Mohamed Ali, Mr. Rawlings said partners and donors will be more forthcoming with resources to support and enhance the process if they are convinced the process of selecting elders to choose a constituent assembly is a trusted and a credible one. Former President Rawlings, who was in Mogadishu on a visit last Friday, was also sympathized with the Prime Minister over a recent bomb blast at the National Tree Theatre in Mogadishu, which claimed the lives of some senior political leaders. Prime Minister Mohamed Ali, who was at the theatre, escaped unhurt. The Prime Minister, in response, assured the AU High Representative that every effort is being made to ensure a credible selection process for the Constituent Assembly so the transitional roadmap is concluded according to schedule. President Rawlings has since left for Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, where he will tomorrow address a meeting of principals in the Somalia transitional process at the AU Conference Center. President Barack Obama has warned of difficult days ahead in Afghanistan as the alliance prepares to withdraw troops at the end of 2014. At a NATO summit in Chicago dominated by the issue of withdrawal from Afghanistan, President Hamid Karzai said his country is fully aware of its responsibilities. France's new president, François Hollande, has again said he'll put French troops out of the end of 2012, nearly 2 years ahead of schedule. Some NATO members have pledged aid to help Afghanistan forces tackle the Taliban insurgency on their own. The meeting continues today with discussion on how much money is needed to continue to support Afghanistan and who pays. The Mexican army has arrested the man who probably ordered the brutal killing of 49 people a week ago. The bodies were found dumped by a roadside in a northern Nuevo León state. An army spokesperson with said Daniel Jesus Eliando, known as El Loco or the Madman, was arrested by soldiers. The authorities say he is a local leader of the notorious Zetal drug cartel, which left threatening messages with the bodies. In a statement, Mexico's defense secretary said the arrest took place on Friday, where the 49 bodies were found on the 13th of this month. A mother and son met their untimely death yesterday when a tree fell on a shop at Pedro Junction during a rainstorm that hit the Cape Coast metropolis. Fozata Agbola, 45, a trader, and her 12-year-old son Kudus Agbola were instantly killed. Detective Sergeant Jacob Komejiro confirmed the story to the GNA. An eyewitness, Joseph Ado, whose furniture shop was also affected by the falling tree, said when the storm started about at 4 p.m., Madame Agbola, who operates a boutique, closed her shop and stood in front of it with her son. Mr. Ado said the huge tree, which was situated across the street, fell on Madame Agbola and her son, her shop, and two others shops nearby. He said fire service personnel and some rescuers pulled the woman and her son from under the tree and rushed them to the Central Regional Hospital, Cape Coast, where they were pronounced dead on arrival. Their bodies have been deposited at the hospital morgue for autopsy. And Robert Gibb, founder of the renowned musical group Bee Gees, has died at age 62 after a lengthy battle with cancer. British-born Gibb's musical career began when he formed the Bee Gees with his brothers Barry and Maurice in 1958. In 2010, Gibb cancelled a series of shows after suffering from severe stomach pains while performing in Belgium. The group is among the biggest selling of all time, with hits spanning five decades, including Staying Alive, How Deep Is Your Love, Massachusetts, and Night Fever. The Bee Gees are second only to Lennon and McCartney as the most successful songwriting unit in British popular music. Next, we bring you editorials of today's papers.
The Ghanaian Times commends government for its resolve to abolish the shift system at the busy school level. The paper believes the decision holds a lot of promise for Ghana's education. It says the benefits to be accrued from it are enormous, as it will help students stay in school for longer hours, enable teachers to explain lessons rather than rush through it among a host of others. The paper, however, cautions government to make some provisions before implementing such a policy. It says more classrooms must be built, more furniture provided, as well as the training of more teachers. To the Times, because enrollment will increase significantly, the policy should be implemented in phases while steps are taken to resolve the problems that may arise. That was the editorial of the Ghanaian Times presented by Doreen Ampofu.
To end the news, the main point again. Ghana will be benefiting from $600 million out of the $3 billion earmarked for the implementation of President Obama's new Alliance for Food Security and Nutrition. 250 Ghanaian students will today leave for Cuba to study in different fields of medicine. The students who were selected from deprived areas across the country will be away for 6 years. And that ends the news broadcast from Radio Ghana, Accra.